We hear of Jesus teaching the disciples the priority of a personal prayer life for the one who chooses to walk with Christ. More specifically, the importance of private and simplistic prayer. Today, we reflect on two men of history who in leadership found their greatest success in the bleakest moments. One faced a decision to lead many men into battle, which turned out to be one of the bloodiest days in American history. The other appointed to lead a nation through battles of conquest as they made their way into a new nation. Certainly both would take great fighting men, it would take great skilled leaders and equipment and supplies and training, but this was not their secret to their victories. Theirs was the choice to pray. For this is where they found strength and courage, being in the presence of God. First, President Abraham Lincoln, a professed man of God, determined to fight for the freedom of humanity given to us by God Himself, found his strength and courage to lead on his knees. After the Union Army was defeated at the Battle of Bull Run, he declared a national day of prayer. He says, "And whereas when our beloved country, once by the blessings of God, united, prosperous, and happy, is now afflicted, it is peculiar fit for us to humble ourselves before Him and to pray for His mercy so that we may be restored." He later said to Eliza Gurney, who was a widow of English Quaker, "We are indeed are going through a great trial. In this very responsible position in which I have happened to be placed, I've desired that all my words and acts may be according to His will, and that it might be so, I have sought His aid in prayer." And then Lincoln's proclamation on March 30th of 1863, "We've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace, multiplied us, and strengthened us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our nation's sin, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." And then Lincoln remained steadfast in his faith. When General Robert E. Lee led his army of 76,000 men into Pennsylvania, he explained to a general wounded at Gettysburg, "When everyone seemed panic-stricken, I went to my room. I got down on my knees before Almighty God, and I prayed." He says, "Soon a sweet comfort crept into my soul that God Almighty had taken the whole business into His own hands." Truly a man of prayer. His battles won and lost, yet he found victory on his knees. Lincoln, of course, was not the only national leader to see the significance of prayer in their leadership. Joshua, as well, found strength and courage to lead on his knees. You see, in his early life and through much of his life, he was in the shadow of Moses since their exodus from Egypt. And in his tenure, he rose to new heights as a leader himself, and he was commissioned and anointed by Moses and set apart by God. Deuteronomy 34, he is described as a man in whom the Spirit resides. You see, him and God were on a first-name basis. After 40 years of wandering in the desert, he finds himself as a leader of one of the most notable events in biblical history, the conquest of the Israelites into the land of Canaan. For 40 years, they had spent wandering, and their march forward now would not be easy either. It would take a great man of God to lead them forward, and Joshua as well found victory on his knees. As a general in the Israelite army, he would soon find himself having to send men into battle as Lincoln did. His strength and courage we see in the book of Joshua. He found in God who was with him. From the very beginning, there is evidence that God was with Joshua. In Deuteronomy 34:9, it says, "Joshua, son of None was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. This devotion to being in the presence of God would take him to some new and significant places in the shadows of Moses. We hear that as Moses was prepared to go up the mountain to receive the law from God, Joshua walked alongside of him. In fact, he went further than the rest, if you read it in Exodus 24. Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, asking the others to wait here for us until we come back to you. His purpose for bringing him forward may be because Joshua was a man filled with the Spirit. And I am suggesting that maybe Joshua found himself on his knees in prayer, not only for Moses who was about to face God, but also for the Israelites who were left at the bottom of the mountain, and we know their story as they swayed from godly ways. And then we also see in Exodus 33, verses 7 through 11, where Moses had set up a tent of meeting, and we would just call that a modern-day prayer room for us. And it says that this is where people would go, anyone who was inquiring of the Lord. And again, we see the evidence of Joshua and prayer as his priority. In verse 11, after Moses had spent some time in the tent of the meeting, it says, Moses returned to the camp, but his young aide did not leave the tent. And then later we see him in his leadership role as he stands at the water's edge and he enters, ready to enter the promised land. And Joshua speaks to all of the Israelites this invitation to prayer. He says, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you. Listening to the word of God is a habit that continued throughout his life. The Lord said to Joshua, in fact, if you pick up your Bible and you want a little homework to do this week, look at how many times it says, the Lord said to Joshua. The Lord spoke to Joshua in prayer. And this habit continued all through his life. And this is where he found victory, was on his knees. Well, living a life of prayer is taking time to listen to the heart of God, and it is essential for the practice of any follower of Christ. It was then, and it is still today for us. One scholar writes that a person who professes to be a Christian and who does not pray does not truly trust that God will answer. Living a life of prayer is where Jesus points his disciples in their call to bringing the good news to the hope in the world. On their knees, they would find strength and courage for the battles that lied ahead for them. Theirs would not be a conquest of land or building of a nation, but one of hope, one of delivering others from the restraints of a greater adversary, sin, that lived in them. Theirs was to conquer the hearts of people. Prayer was necessary for this fight, and Jesus teaches them that they would find victory when they went to their Father on their knees. In verse 6, we see in the middle of our passage in Matthew, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus here, I believe, is speaking to private prayer, specifically praying on our knees. Because Jesus himself would later, if we recall, find himself there as well. In Luke, when he withdraws to the Garden of Gethsemane, a stone's throw beyond his disciples, we hear that he knelt and prayed. And so as we look at this passage for just a few moments, I think it's important for us to consider just a couple of things in the context of these words. Well, I won't go into the specifics of the Lord's Prayer because that would be for another sermon, but I think it's important for us to hear a couple of these things. In verse 5, it begins, and when you pray. So the command here is not if, it's and when you pray. it is to his disciples that saying to them that prayer is necessary to walk with me and to follow me when you pray. I remember, I may have mentioned this in a couple of my other sermons, but these words are forever etched in my heart. This is a song, "And When You Pray," and it is the actual sheet music, and if you notice, it says there, Brian's part. I was 7 years old when I first sang this with my mom and happened to find the music. "When you pray." Had the blessing opportunity to sing it in our home church about a year before she passed with her. "And when you pray." And then Jesus goes on as Matthew writes and says, "Do not be like." And he gives us two examples of when we pray, "Do not be like." So the thing here is not, he's just not pointing us to how we pray, but he's pointing us to be careful of the temptation in prayer, and specifically in public prayer. Now, we have to be careful because Jesus is not saying here that public prayer is not good. He's just saying, like anything, there is temptations. And this we see when he says, "Do not be like the hypocrites." Now, it's interesting in this early beginning of chapter 6, he uses that word three times in his teaching of fasting, and "do not be like the hypocrites." Now, the word here, by definition, basically means actors of a stage. So do not be like those who act, and that is actually what it says here, who act out but are not true in their prayer. And here's the next part, "for they love to pray." For they love to pray. Now, there's nothing wrong with loving to pray, but there's a challenge here. "For they love to pray." The problem is they fell more in love with their prayer than they did with God. And he says, in the synagogues. You see, the Jewish people and leaders as well all prayed in the synagogues. So this was a direct, I guess you could say, accusation against them. For they loved to pray in the synagogues. That would be the obvious place, right? But maybe what he was saying, that their personal life looked a whole lot different. For they loved to pray. And it's interesting, Jesus says, and then they loved to pray on street corners. Now, they didn't pray on street corners. Some believe that this was added here as a contrast, as kind of a contrast to the other. In other words, they love to show their righteousness in public. Jesus warns them, don't be like them. Pray. Pray in public. But may your private life match your public life. And then later in verse 7, he says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. Now, pastors are exempt from that babbling clause, by the way, just in case you wondered. Dale was thinking that exactly. No. Do not keep babbling like pagans. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a prayerful situation, and you know, and don't get me wrong, there are people that are so gifted to pray, and I have been just truly ever blessed by their giftings of prayer in many circumstances. But sometimes, have you ever been there and you just go, okay, we can be done now, because you lost me a while ago. Babbling, using words over and over again. And this was an issue in those days. And here Jesus is reaching out to the Gentiles. That's who he's speaking to. To those who threw, it's a heaping up words is the translation. They would heap up words in order to impress God. Well, there's a problem with that. God knows our every need, right? And he knows our heart. And so he knows those who struggle with this form of prayer. Too many words. Little content. And then right in the middle, but when you pray, go into your room. Close the door and pray to your Father. Now here again, Jesus uses some interesting words because going into your room really in one sense, did not really mean that because they didn't have prayer rooms, especially with a door. They had closets. That would be about it. The only other door in their homes usually were the front door. And so for them to go in their prayer room really is kind of like, what do you mean here? But I think on the other hand, Jesus is saying, go to those places, those private places. And then they will see him do this throughout his life as Jesus goes to the mountains, secluded to pray by himself. When you pray, and the whole key of the scripture is so that only God is given glory in our prayer and in our words, not so that we seek glory from others in our prayers, but that God sees our heart and our needs in those times. And so, why pray? Why pray as those who are not to be seen? Because our prayers are not to impress people, and they don't win us any points with God. Why pray on our knees to the Father? Because he knows our every need. And we don't need to go on and on to impress him. Why pray? Because Jesus did, and this was his greatest victory ever. And so he instructs the disciples, and he leaves this prayer for us as well. Our Father's in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. And deliver us. Why pray? Because the battle is before us as well, and strength and courage is ours to receive in prayer, as it was for Lincoln, as it was for Joshua, and for the disciples, and for Jesus himself. A battle he fought for you and I. Lincoln wrote these words, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere to go." Ever been there? Joshua had only one place to go. I like my little promised land thing I found there. And he prayed that God would help him help the people to get there, the promised land. Isn't that our task as well? About leading others to the promised land of knowing Christ's love, of finding hope through strength and courage in the battles of this life while preparing for the next. Maybe you, like myself, have found much peace in our time on our knees. But I leave you with this thought and this truth, that no matter the battle before us, we can always find victory on our knees. You see, our fights may be much different, but it is as every bit is real. As Jesus writes, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us." Help us to lead others well. Help us to fight poverty when we see the poor. Help us to restore families when we see broken marriages. Help us to bring people together when we see relationships that need healing. Help us to bring hope in the midst of suffering for those who have lost loved ones. Help us to love the hurting, not to condemn, but to lift up. And help us to cheer up a sad soul with a smile. You do that well, by the way. Prayer is God's way of moving in and through us to accomplish his will and to lead others to the promised land and to help them find victory in Jesus. But it begins on our knees. When you pray, seek victory in Jesus. The question is will you go there? Let us pray. Thank you, God, for these words of hope that you give us today. Encourage us and strengthen us in our every need. Encourage us in our walk of leadership in our homes, as husbands, as wives, as fathers, as children. Encourage us in our leadership in this church as we love and work with each other. Encourage and strengthen us as we go from this place to serve those who are in need, to share your love with the world. We thank you for the hope that lives within us because of the one who first found his way to his knees to pray to his heavenly Father, as is for us as well. Amen.